So let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 7, and we have left off in verse 2. And this is a very sweet portion of Scripture, and God willing that we'll be in tonight, truly revealing the divine love, that agape love that really rested and dwelled in the life of Brother Paul. And I hope that, again, that we understand this calling is to us, brothers and sisters, that we would follow Him as He followed Christ. That faith and that love that dwelt and was so evident in that brother, that is an example. That is that desire to have that power. You talk about power dwelling and just thrilling in our life. And I was thinking again, the tenderness, the compassion, and I'll just say the very passion that this brother had. The passion. Obviously the passion for the Lord, but the passion for those to love the Lord. And we need to have that. And by the grace of God, we need to have that one for another. Such passion, even for this, if the Lord tarry this service that we'll have Friday, that people would come to know the Lord. I'm excited about those opportunities by the grace of God. My expectation is in and from Him that He's going to do all things well. And the mighty work, the hand of God is right there. But here in verse 2, receive us. What a statement, receive us. What this is saying here is open your hearts to us. And let that so speak to us that we will never receive anything. We will never receive anyone. Until we break up the fallow ground. It's got to be broken up. As you know, and I'm sure you've seen, when you run water over hard, baked ground, it doesn't soak in, it just runs right off of it. The porous ground, the softened ground, the fertile ground is what receives. And we need to have that kind of a heart. And I appreciate these Corinthians. Let me tell you something. This was a mixed up people. We've been studying them now for months. And we understand all of the different problems that they were going through. You can see many of the same problems that exist in this whole world. But praise be to God, the Lord still was able to get through. The Lord still was able to get into these lives and have them receive things of the Word of God. And tonight, it is so sweet because even Paul, we're going to read, doubted and even had some fear of what he was being used to bring forth to these people. Thinking, Lord, I don't know, this might be too much. But yet God knew absolutely perfectly what they needed. They needed the Word of God. They needed the fullness of the gospel. See, a lot of times we try to mix our words. We try to get in there and, well, we'll be a little bit sly going in with the Word of God with this different one. And maybe we'll soft sell it this way. Just preach the Word. See, Paul knew that. And he finally tells that sweet Timothy. He said, Timothy, get out of yourself. Don't try to devise a plan. Just preach the Word. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need is the Word of God. That's what everybody needs is the Word of God. And praise the Lord that we are finding this out. But it goes on to say here, we have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. And in that, brothers and sisters, I say praise the Lord for a clear conscience. Praise the Lord for a clear conscience. If you have a clear conscience tonight, be thankful. Thank the Lord for that. I'm grateful to God that this brother had a godly testimony. And only the love of God could deliver this kind of peace to this brother. And see, we so often we limit God in our life. We limit what God can do in our life. Do you realize the Word of God tells us that He can take us from the good to the acceptable to even the very perfect will of God? That's what He desires to have. That we would know Him. And have this perfect will of God. I'm so thankful that yes, He restores me. And yes, He doesn't allow that reed to be broken or that smoking flax to be quenched. But the Word of God even tells me, do you know, He can even keep me from falling? How about trusting God, huh? Praise the Lord how this brother trusted God. He said, Lord, I want you. I want your best. Work it in me. What a testimony tonight speaking to us. Let this speak to you. All right, verse 3. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. What a testimony when you're giving out the word of God, when you're going after somebody. The test is always love, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Speaking truth in love. That's what's going to get it done. This is what Paul was after. He wanted growth. You talk about somebody who was a farmer, and I love that. He loved to see things grow, especially, obviously, the people of God. That's the whole purpose. He was there for the care of the churches. If people would only just step back and say, Lord, show me your word, the Spirit will reveal to you. It wasn't going out and saving the masses. It wasn't finding new recruits, in a sense, to become children of the King. Sure, he was wanting that. He that winneth souls is wise. It was a wonderful thing. But Paul's calling and the calling that we have today to win God's best is the care of the churches. That's why the Lord was speaking to those seven churches there in Revelation. Grow up. Every one of those churches, it was grow up. Come out. Let me heal you. Take of me. Praise the Lord. He was speaking to his children. Praise the Lord. Wanting them to grow and to become the mature sons. But here he's saying, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to discourage you. I am here for your gain. God has caused me to live my life for you. Like Brother Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is me. Where God has placed you, I pray that you willingly take it. There's a reward for us, brothers and sisters. Just take the place that God has for you. That's the perfect place. Nothing else. Where God has placed you. But again, it's speaking truth in love. He encouraged these brothers and sisters. But then he also, speaking truth in love, it convicted these brothers and sisters. And then, speaking truth in love, it chastened after these brothers and sisters. It was getting deep. There was a cutting that needed to happen. This was bridal love in Paul. This is the bridal love that needs to exist in us. And I'm thankful when the Lord showed me, son, if you're going to marry me, you're not just going to marry my head. You're going to marry my body. You see what I'm saying in that respect? Is that you are marrying, that love has to be the whole thing. Sure, it's Jesus. I understand that. But the love has to be that love of God towards His saints. The same love where Christ loves us. That love has to be there. That love has to permeate from my life. I have to have that kind of bridal love that loves everybody. And loves it with that agape love. All right, going on. Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech, he says, toward you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding. And that's, again, in the Greek, it's exceeding, excess exceeding. And there isn't really a capturing word for it, but we'll just say exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Praise be to God. I speak boldly. Why? We read about that in the last chapter. Because my heart is enlarged. You have to have an enlarged heart. Only God can give you that enlarged heart. That's why people that try to do good deeds and good works in this world, thankful for it in a sense, but they don't have an enlarged heart doing it. Because only God can enlarge a heart. It has to be God's love. That's the motive. That is the wonderful love that comes into our life then that we can share, which is God's love. And this God's love says that I love you. And this God love says that your love for Christ Jesus causes me to glory. Now, if you have this love, you're glorying that your brother or sister in Christ is running the race. If you are jealous, and believe it or not, I know it's not anybody here, but if you may be jealous of a brother or sister that's really running for the things of God, you don't have the love of God. You don't. It's not perfected, is what I would say. That is missing in that place in your life. Let God perfect it. Rejoice. It's like we talk about liberties that people have. I'm thankful. I would hope that we can rejoice in the liberty of a brother or sister, even if I don't have it. Be thankful that they have that. Be thankful that that brother or sister might drive that car. Be thankful that that brother or sister might have that house. They might have some nice kids. They might have all these different things. How about be thankful that my brother and sister is praising the Lord and actually has been stricken with a sickness? Thankful in all things. If you're running the race, by the grace of God, Lord, make me thankful. Let me glory with you. Amen. Amen. This is the love that God only can work in us. This is that perfect Philadelphia love, that unity of the Spirit that by His grace is a requirement, obviously, to be a wife that is ready for Him. All right. So again, Christ's love always wants His best in others. Now again, when you want the best in others, sometimes they're insulted. I want you to have God's best. Well, don't want that for me. Leave me alone, huh? See, it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't. See, if you haven't figured it out by now, His love never leaves you alone. His love will not leave you alone. Now, I'm not trying to pester you. I'm going to give you what the Lord, by His grace, whatever the Holy Spirit makes intercession to give. I understand it's God that gives the increase. I'm not in control of anybody's faith, and you're not either. I just hope to add to your joy. But by the grace of God, as long as you come here, I'm going to try to, by the grace of God, to add to your joy. I want you to have God's best. That is the desire. And I can honestly say before the Lord, that is it. That's what it's about. It's about us to win Him. To finish a course, not just finish it, but to finish it with joy. Praise God, the joy that we were talking about Sunday. It was permeating through lives in here on Sunday. Praise God. And that is the joy that we're after, because that's His joy upon that cross. So, and this was the joy that Paul had, because, again, this love that was comforting him, the expectation. See, the Lord has only caused us to hope. Did you know that? I'm hopeful. I don't care if you're running in, as they say, through the kennels of hell and you're a child of God. God has still called me to be hopeful for you. I'm to hope. And I really do have hope, because it's in faith. It's in that Lord, and He is the God of all comfort. And I understand in the Holy Spirit, I can even abound in that hope. Now I leave it to God to deal with that heart, and I don't know what's going to happen. But the one thing I do by grace is I hope. I hope that still in season. I hope that season hasn't passed you by. And that's why when He does tell us to redeem the time, that it's buying. I was looking that up just the other day. It's buying the opportunity. Seizing it. Praise the Lord. And man, we've had a lot of opportunity here as of late. Just get it. Oh, get it. Praise God. It is so awesome. But this gave Him that joy in this trial of ministry. And to that I say amen. Believe it or not. Again, this ministry that we all have, we're all part of, because God working in us, there's trial in it. And see, do you understand now that that's the sufferings, the joint sufferings with Christ? You don't have to go out there and try to find some. Promise you don't. If you need to find some, come sit with me for a day. We'll share them together. But see, just be set for the defense by His grace. It'll come. Just stand. It'll come. withstand. It'll come some more. And then having done all, stand and you'll get it all. Praise God. It will come. All right, 5-7. Let's go after that. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Every side. See, there wasn't any reprieve here with this brother. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Nevertheless, God. Isn't that wonderful? There's but God. Nevertheless, God. Isn't that wonderful? It's just God that comforteth those that are cast down. Oh, hallelujah. See, he had to get you there, didn't he? All right. Comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation, there's that reward, wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire. Oh, see, this is what the reward was. Listen to these words. The earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. He was already rejoicing because the Lord was using him, because the Lord had given him the faith, the confidence to give out the word of God. He was already using him that way. But praise the Lord, here came that double portion. Isn't that wonderful? He said, look at that. They're responding to the things of God. Nothing better. See, again, we think that we have battles in life. This brother never had a reprieve. He had the beasts at Ephesus. He was troubled here on every side, it says. The external fightings, the internal fear. But again, he would always go back and he'd say, no, God's here. God's here. God's in this. The Comforter's here. There's no reason to fear. And especially to the cast down. See, Paul was coming upon that real thought that he finally pins where he says, when I am weak, then I'm strong. See, he was bringing him in. The very power of Christ now is resting upon me. I've got it. And this was the training ground. Just think of this. I mean, and this was some training here. I mean, these people didn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And they were worshiping everything. You know, you'd bring in a piano, a tree, a Coca-Cola. They would start making a god out of it. And that's pretty much what this group did. Huh? And don't think it's any different today. Don't. There are just a bunch of idolaters and they're going that way and God gives them over to it. But again, praise the Lord. The Lord had told him, nope, I've got something to work here. Looks hopeless. Looks like this is just a bunch of stuff that's just ready to be delivered to hell. But it's not, brother. It's not. There's ones in here and they're going to come out of it. Isn't that wonderful? And he said, out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. All right. See, this is the Lord's work. This isn't your thought. Praise God for that. Or none of us would have had a chance, huh? All right. So especially the cast down. And praise God, this again should give us encouragement tonight. Because the Lord says we must decrease so He can increase. And I was thinking about to really be prayerful to not have fear to be, in a sense, decreased. Amen to pray for it. Do you pray for humiliation? Better not see a hand in this place. I know it's not thunderstorm. No, I'm just teasing. But do you? Don't be fearful to be humiliated for the Lord's sake. Don't be fearful to be made fun of, to be passed over, to not be exalted. Those are precious things. They really are. Praise God. He said that He'll treasure in that. He's going to take the foolish things, confound the wise. He's going to lift the low. He's going to show them that I took the despised and I set him up on a throne. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, the more and more that people don't want to have anything to do with me and they think I'm some knuckle nut and all of these different kinds of things, it's getting me excited. Huh? Yeah. There was a time when at least a few in the world used to think something of me, but you know, I'll tell you, you better beware when all men speak well of you. See, I don't need to act out. I just let Him do His work in. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to convict. It is. It's going to convict. You're going to go one way or the other. You really go after the Lord, people are either going to love you or going to hate you. And there's really not going to be any middle ground. And you don't need to provoke it. You don't want to provoke it. All you want to do is just live that life. And I won't even mention, but I know these dear little sisters that I just love in this assembly, and that you could think, how in the world? And I'll tell you what, there's people that hate them. And it's not the people. It's not. It's just spiritual wickedness. And you can't understand why that would happen. But the Word of God tells me it does. And it's just following right through to the plan. And that's the precious thing about the Word of God, is that the sinner can't help do what God said He was going to do. Amen. Praise God. It's all under control. Don't worry. But we decrease. He increases. We got to get low to look up. We understand this. And then we read in this verse that, behold, here brother Titus shows up. And do you know the word Titus? It means nurse. Oh, how ironic, huh? Come on now. It's perfect. God's got perfect timing. He knows exactly what we need. And He brings the nurse when we need that that ointment and that healing and that salve. And praise God that this was a faithful brother that brought that comfort. And it wasn't just him. It was the good report that he brought him. Now think of this. Think about how, and I know again it's nobody here, but the ones that love to bear the bad news. Oh, do I got a story to tell. Huh? First one on the phone. Oh, I've got some good juice today. Here we go. See? Now, let's let the Lord work and be one that can actually be a blessing in presence. And then by the grace of God, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's the abundance of love. And we're bringing the good report. We're bringing the true. We're bringing the lovely. How's that? Man, that is something, isn't it? Think on these things. Flee that very appearance of evil. All right, so Titus, again, he brought that good and true report. And it's a healing salve. And here's the reason that this report was so precious to Paul. We see that, again, their desire, the mourning, the fervent mind was so precious to Paul. And here's the reason why. It's in verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter. Huh. Have you ever made anybody sorry with a letter? Yeah, that's what my dad told me, don't put anything in writing. Don't do that, son. I won't go on with that story. All right, but we made him sorry with a letter. And we understand that this is the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But he said, though I made you sorry, I do not repent. Though I did repent, look at this poor guy. Oh. Paul was a case too. Read the Word. He was having some issues of faith here is what it is about. He's being honest. I appreciate this brother's heart before the Lord. And this was again the Holy Spirit speaking through. You know why? Because he knew these people in 2007 here in about October 31, sitting here at 1701 South Sherman, might have the same kind of problem. Huh? Oh yeah, gets a little hot in there is basically what was going on. Okay, so I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. You can see the encouragement of the Lord happening in this verse all over the place. You can see, well, I'm doubting, but yet here's the Word of God. I'm doubting, but yet here's the Word of God. Isn't that precious? How the Lord just, again, so perfectly keeps him. It's about this letter. And the benefit, brothers and sisters, as we're reading here, to stand and to withstand and having done all to stand. And you know what? It's often lonely to stand. It's often very lonely. Now, I do not still believe in my heart of hearts that you will ever have a loneliness like Brother Paul. Because this is the one that was set up for us. This is the one, again, as we follow as he followed Jesus Christ. And the Lord showed in this sweet brother that I can get it done. I can get it done. I'll show you this life. And see, I think how merciful this wonderful Lord is. He showed us in his perfect life. Don't get me wrong. I understand that, no, Brother Paul is not Jesus Christ. Brother Paul followed Christ. Praise the Lord. He gave him a dispensation. He gave him a revelation of, brother, I'll tell you what, you grow up like this and you can be my wife. Okay. But the merciful God that we have had this intense suffering, this complete abandonment in this brother. I don't think any of us have been shipwrecked or stoned or whipped and beaten and all those. And you know what? No, it's probably not going to happen in any of our lives. Not even maybe one of those. But he said, I'm ready to be offered. And he said, there's a crown of righteousness for me. But see, my sweet brother knew in the Lord, he says, but it's not for me only, for them also that love is appearing. And that's where the Lord has taken me, and I've encouraged myself in the Lord in this, and I hope it encourages you. In spirit, we go right there. Right there. We don't have to maybe go through it physically. I didn't have to go through it there. But most importantly, I went through it in spirit. He has to take you there. He has to take you there in that complete abandonment. And I know by the grace of God, if not most of us, all of us have been there. That's a loneliness that you have to face. It's a stand that by the grace of God, He has to enable you to make in order to bring you to this point of complete surrendering to God. This is it. And praise the Lord, He will get you there if you'll allow Him. Like I said, when you said by His grace, I will go, He heard you. But here we see the sorrow and we see the doubt. When often we deliver the Word of God in love, how it separates, how the Word of God tells us that the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. But you see, praise God, this brother, he trusted in God. He trusted that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He knew by grace that there's seasons. He knew that there would be times that there would be crying, that there would be tears in the night. But He knew the morning was coming. He knew that there would always be a way of escape. And in that He's saying to us, let us not be fearful of reproach. Let us not be fearful of humiliation. Let us not be fearful of the repercussions. When we move in spirit and in the will of God. That's the point. When we're moving in spirit and in the will of God. See, that brings us right back to Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And that is an agape love. That's not a love that loves the world more than God. This is the love that loves Him. That loves Him. And in that love, I know that He's perfecting that which concerns you. I know that He's put that path before you, that you are to walk into that. That He will protect you. That He will guide you. That the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. These are promises that we have. All right, let's go on to 9 and 10. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry. See, he wasn't rejoicing in that they were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. It was a specific type of sorrow of what we're going to get at here. It wasn't just being sorry, but that there was a sorrowful repentance. That means there was a change that was made. That's what he was thankful about. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. Oh, listen to this, brothers and sisters. That ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I'll tell you, there's precious reward in trusting God, isn't there? Hallelujah. We walk by faith, and this was a battle. Paul's eyes were sensing only the despair. They thought, or he thought, that his words were discouraging these Corinthians. Oh, I might defeat them from what I am saying. I'm sure these things were coming in as we read these words. But faith, brothers and sisters, it won another victory. He withheld nothing. We read about that. He preached the full counsel of God. That won it. Timothy preached the word. It goes right back to that is what he learned. Brothers and sisters, let us not compromise. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be as Peter was, where he got around those Pharisees and different ones and he started to back off from the things of God. It defeated him. What an example that brother was. But praise be to God too, I understand this, that often it takes great failure to have great faith. Got to be that way. It does. He's got to strip you of yourself. He's got to show you that you're unrighteous through and through by yourself. That there's no good in you. I don't care how long you've come to church. I don't care who is your mom and dad. I don't care how right you've walked and how many good deeds you've done. You're wicked without Jesus Christ. And every move you'll ever make, even as a Christian, apart from God, is worthless. It's void of any reward. And you need to understand that. This is a time of precious stone. And I was thinking today, Lord, I want to have enough precious stone to bring you quite a diamond ring. One of my intimate moments with him, huh? Oh, I hope they never stop, brother. Oh, I hope they never stop. It's just too good. But see, I know it's only by grace. I don't worry about not having it tomorrow. But I'm not banking on that. I'm just saying, Lord, tomorrow if it gets here, let me choose it again today. Let me love you with your love today. Oh, hallelujah. And you know it only increases by His grace. What a faithful Lord that we have. But see, He held back nothing. And this godly sorrow we read here, brothers and sisters, it brought the change of heart. It brought the repentance. It had to be that way. The cutting had to happen. Now, a lot of times in there, we like to get in there with the axe and start chopping up. But see, that's not the way God's going to work it. Let Him do the cutting. All right? Yes, He does. Let Him do it. It's truth in love. It is. It's truth in love. That'll get it done. But it's His word that cuts. It's by His grace, I'm understanding that, you know, studying up for Sunday and maybe being led different ways, I'm thinking again about that powerhouse and the Holy Spirit. And how I don't even know what even to say, but yet He makes utterance. He gives it. I don't even know what to pray for. And in a lot of ways, that just makes me feel so much better. Do you see how it's His work? All He's asking us to do, brothers and sisters, is to be willing. But it's sad to think, as I read some of this, I need to stay with it. We need to move. But most Christians think that repentance is kind of done with at the time of salvation. That it was all wrapped up at that one moment. And yet, as Brother Copley pointed out, and I'll maybe expand on a little bit, in all reality, the depth of true repentance is learned and ongoing long after salvation. Huh? Oh, yeah? Oh, it was wonderful. See, making some notes here. Have you found, truly found, that the repentant heart really is developed out of deep love? Yeah. That's the change of heart. It's the bonding with Christ Jesus. It's the deep remorse when we have wronged the one we love. Huh? That repentance is not for forgiveness. That happened a long time back. That was done with the forgiveness part. The repentance is for the cleansing of me. That I'm okay in you, Lord. That I am sorry. I'm so sorry. Got to come to that, brothers and sisters, until we really become sorry for things. And I'm talking about when we yield to temptation, when we're caught in these sin cycles that don't break. Now we come into our knees and we say, Lord, I know you've forgiven me and all of these things, but yet it comes right back again. And yet it comes right back again. It's because we haven't reached the godly sorrow. It's true. There comes a time when we have to break. There has to come a time when I say, Lord, it's got to be you now. Because this is breaking my heart. I am sorry. And I'm telling you something. Then it'll get done. It really will. I'm living proof of that. By His grace, I hope to continue to be living proof of that. Because He's going to have you here, and you're going to have godly sorrow the rest of your days. Because that's how He works. Yeah. Every bit, Lord. Every bit. And if I'm still taking a breath here, He's still got His pen out, author in my faith. What do you think of that? Huh? Amen. Praise God. So we see that worldly sorrow is death. And I was thinking about worldly sorrow. Even naturally speaking, it shortens lives. It brings stress, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah. The people that are in the medical field, because it brings hardships. It brings guilt. Brings all of these different things. But let's look at godly sorrow, which is salvation. It's continued saving. It's never regretted. It's only thankful. It builds eternal wealth. And instead of robbing me of life, it builds abundant life, doesn't it? Huh? Praise the Lord. That is that sweet godly sorrow. Okay, let's keep moving. We're in verse 11. Now this is a sweet thing here, and we're going to see seven spiritual perfection. Here we go again. Seven proofs of a changed heart. This cleansing of this godly sorrow that I need. And it says, for behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. And this can be, you put anything in your life in this. This is the godly sorrow that He's working in your life to bring this continued working of His will and pleasure in your life. So the first one is here, as it says, this sorrow, what carefulness it wrought in you. The carefulness. This means earnestness. This means watchful. Basically, it woke him up. Huh? Did godly sorrow finally wake you up out of something? You were just complacent to it. I'm just going to be defeated by it every time. Oh, here it comes again. I'm just going to lay down and let the devil just run right over me. But finally, it broke my heart. It said, Lord, you don't want it to be this way. You love me. You've made a provision for victory in my life. I'm looking at you on the cross and you told me it was finished. You've asked me to join you. Now I want to believe you. Wake me up. Praise God. Next, it says, the clearing of yourselves. What does that mean? A change in behavior. That's what that means. You want evidence of godly sorrow? There's going to be a change of behavior. You ain't changing.
You haven't reached godly sorrow.
And that's fact. It's the Word of God. He made you. You are not your own. You live by faith. When are we going to get it? Huh?
I think we do. We just wrestle with it.
You got to quit being a Jacob and just surrender. Praise the Lord. All right. So, it's a change of behavior. It takes us from flesh to spirit. This is the transforming, the renewing of my mind. This takes me from the perspective of self and brings me into the God's perspective. See, that's what's defeating me again is my selfishness. All right. Next one. Indignation. That means physical pain from grieving. This is real remorse. And I believe every one of us have experienced this. Praise be to God. We have to have that remorse. And praise God, when we have this kind of remorse, it's the hurt that hurts so good. What do you think? And it does. And it will hurt so good. Next one is fear. And this is not fear of punishment from God. This is the fear of displeasing Him. You see what I'm saying? You see the difference there? It's not fear that He's going to smush me. It's the fear that I was going to break His heart. You ever really been in love with somebody? You don't want to break their heart. You don't want to offend them. You don't want to do that. You don't. You find somebody you love, you want to be faithful. You want to please them. Can't get them off your mind. Praise God, they've just taken your heart. This is His love controlling me, the willing and doing of His good pleasure in my life. Next one is vehement. That's a burning desire. Praise God. From there, I'm starting to get a witnessing of fully go. I'm fully persuaded. How's that? Praise the Lord. I want to win Him. How about the finish talk? Crown glory? Huh? You see how He turns these things in? I'm sorrowful, Lord, but I'm understanding too that there's wisdom in this sorrow, that I want You. I want these things with You. I want to be there with You when... Oh my. When every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. I want to be there. I'm going to be there. But I want to rejoice with Him. And I know He tells me in the Word of God at that same time too, son, I'm going to let them know that I have loved You. Do you want that place? You see the love match, as Brother Kev brings out so many times, going back and forth. That's the husband and wife. His glory is her, her glory is Him. Zeal, a fervent mind, quickened, renewed, His very mind, transformed. I've got a vision. Yeah. You want godly sorrow, you do. Got to have it. Got to have it. That's why you will fail at times. God needs to bring this into your life. Okay? Gonna happen. Praise the Lord. But this is the spiritual perfection in that that He brings to us. And then finally, I love this one. Revenge. Revenge. And it is the revenge. This is the inward separation from a life of contamination. I like to put it this way. This is goodbye world. I'm in Jesus' way. This is, oh, excuse me, devil. There's the cross. And it is finished. And by the way, I'll take you over the tomb. And here's another three words at you. He is risen. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not being trite with that. That's just a fact. That's the revenge. Isn't that wonderful? How about behold the Lamb? Oh, what zingers, huh? He's gone. Yeah. Oh, know it, brothers and sisters. Just know it. Let's move along. I think we can close this out tonight. Verse 12. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done wrong. Now, this person that he's referring to is back there in 1 Corinthians 5:13. That was that one that was, again, that brother that was distorting the word of God. They put away that wicked one. Remember that? They said, man, you're going to go there? The word of God tells us we have to separate from that fellowship. You have to go. It's a very difficult thing. I had to do that in this assembly. Did. Okay. Now, praise the Lord, that brother has been restored to fellowship. Praise God. That's what we're looking for. It wasn't my test. It was just what God was doing. Praise the Lord. And those are things, brothers and sisters, and I don't want you to think, well, who was that? So stop that right now. All right? Let's rejoice. Huh? And again, I say rejoice. So, but hard time. Oh, the easy thing would be, oh, let it slide, it'll pass. No. Brother Hill used to say something. They're not going to write Ichabod over that door. By the grace of God, they're not going to write Ichabod over that door. Oh, no. Mm-mm. Nope. We're going to magnify him. We're going to magnify him in teaching and in sermon and in song. We're going to be set for the defense of the gospel. Yeah. We haven't come this far to turn back. It's about ready to be wrapped up. And I want a good and welcome by the grace of God, well done. Hallelujah. And I know you do too. So aren't we thankful we're one in him? But it wasn't about this brother who tried to distort this truth. It went on to say there, it wasn't for me, in a sense, who suffered the wrong. And that's Paul referring to himself there in verse 12. But he didn't write that for those things. He wrote this to them so that they would know my love for you. That's the reason he wrote this. This is all about the love of God. It wasn't for any other reason. It wasn't for these instances that happened. It was because of the love of God. I'm here for no other reason. It's not a political agenda. It's not to try to make friends and influence people. Believe you me, it's not for that. I'm here because of the love of God. Therefore we were comforted, verse 13, in your comfort. Isn't that wonderful? Yea, and exceeding the more joyed we were for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. See, again, it's wonderful to be a carrier of the love of God and the joy of the Lord. And Titus's blessing that he brought was a contagious thing. See, that's what the love of God does. It does. You'll either flee or you're going to want to dwell in it. You're going to want to share it. Can't help it. It's there. If you're looking for it by the grace of God, it will apprehend you. It does. Praise God. It's just there. It can't explain it. Yes, it is supernatural because it is. It's our Christ. It's our Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. It's the greatest gift. If you really think about it, the greatest gift we could ever give one another is to run well. This was the comfort that Paul was getting from this, is he knew that giving out the word of God, it was never going to return void. And he did exactly what the Lord had put in his heart to do. And he was comforted with that. Even though there was a hardship there, he was comforted. But here came that double portion blessing. And these brothers and sisters were responding. They were changing. They were repentant from all these different attitudes and actions. And a lot of hurtful things were said. You know it. Think about what we read back there. Well, where's your papers, Paul? What school did you go to? Did Bishop so-and-so write you a letter to come over here to speak to us? And all of that other stuff where they were questioning his knowledge, questioning his authority. That didn't hurt Paul's ego. It hurt him in the love of God. He was experiencing godly sorrow for them. Now where's he going to take you, huh? Do you hurt for your brothers and sisters? Not in judgment or condemnation, but when they're not running well? Boy, I hope you do. I hope you do. And ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Yeah. Boy, and you didn't think you had a ministry. I'd hate to be you. All right. Okay. I'm just teasing you. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. Oh, isn't that wonderful? See, the evident working of the Spirit is something to rejoice and boast about, brothers and sisters. I love, and I'm going to tell you, and it is all glory to the Lord, I love to share with others the work of the Lord in you. I do. I boast in the Lord in you. I know it's not of you. I know it's of the Lord. But there isn't anything greater. Because this is the plan of the ages, that you would grow up into Him in all things. And there's some lives here that it's happening. And if there's any boasting, it's in Him. And that is His work. So let's not be ashamed of it. In all humility and by the grace of God, let's rejoice in it. So 15, and His inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst He remembereth the obedience of you all. How with fear and trembling ye received Him. See, He loved them based on one thing, and that was the growth of the Lord in their lives. This Titus, what a brother he was. He had that pastor's heart. He was caring for the growth of grace and knowledge. There wasn't anything else. He was rejoicing in that these brothers and sisters surrendered to the Lord. That in fear and trembling, they received Him. A lot of people don't understand what that is. You ever had the awe of the Lord in your life about somebody? I hope you do. I have the awe of the Lord in some folks. I have the awe of the Lord in you. I'm in awe by the grace of God, and I'm not shining you. I'm just telling you, and you've heard me say it before. I'm before the aristocracy tonight of the eternities to come. How could I not be in awe of that? Well, these sweet brothers and sisters finally saw that in this sweet brother Titus. And they gave reverence to God, by acknowledging the love of God that was in that brother for them. And they loved him, and they joyed in it. And this was such a sweet thing that they realized that this was a chosen vessel that God was using to bring forth the things of God to them. And they weren't just passing him by as some dodo anymore and some guy from out of town that didn't have any papers. You've heard that many times, I'm sure, a lot of you. Well, you're not papered, huh? Uh-oh. Well, Brother Paul had the same problem. How's that? All right, let's close it up. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Now this is quite a statement, brothers and sisters. See, the word works effectually in a softened and repentant heart. We've read that tonight, haven't we? And God's best is at work when we leave it with Him. Did you hear that? God's best is always at work when we leave it with Him. And this is where Paul came to with it. See, Paul did not try to force it. Again, he was just willing to do what God had asked him to do. And I think about Brother Paul too, is, you know, there were certain cities he just walked on by. Well, I thought he was supposed to go out and preach to every creature. Know your Bibles. Why did he pass them up? Well, it must not be that time yet, huh? Yeah. And it's sad. I just don't like to think about that. But again, people distort the things of God. We're not in the kingdom age yet. And thank God we're not. Because that means the bride still got time to get ready. That should make you smile. Oh, hallelujah. Say, oh, I wish I was born a long time ago. No, you don't. No, you don't. you want to be about right now. Because Jesus is coming right now. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. But see, in closing, this was the confidence that he had in those brothers and sisters. Because you know the Word of God says, don't put your confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. But why does he say this? Not only I have confidence in you, I have confidence in you in all things. The Lord was working. When the Lord is working, when you're going after the Lord, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we can have confidence in that. That's in all things. That's the work of the Lord that we have confidence in. And what a privilege. What a privilege and what a rest that we're running well. We're running for His best. There's a certain thing going on and between a couple people, and a few people were kind of getting bent out of shape and all of these things. And the only thing I could tell these folks, if they're both going to seek God's best, and that's what they're seeking, it's going to be right. It's going to be right. Just leave it with that. Don't try to figure it out. Don't. If you're seeking God's best, it's going to be right. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank You for this time. We thank You again that You've gathered ones together that love You so. Thank You that we have You in our lives. And I do thank You that I have brothers and sisters that are passionate for Your best. Help us to continue to be quickened, readied, expecting, and loving Your appearing. We thank You for it, Jesus. Hope to see You soon, so soon. In Jesus' name, amen.